The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay. So, good evening. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Diana Clark. And we're going to do some loving kindness practice, some metta practice tonight. So as I've mentioned a number of times, loving kindness practice is about creating the conditions for feelings of warmth to arise. It's about creating the conditions for feelings of ease, care, love, goodwill. We can't make these things arise. Wouldn't that be great? It would be so much easier. We'll just make ourselves be happy. And but I think all of us have tried in so many different ways, the things that we do, thinking it's going to make us happy. But instead, we can create the conditions. We can put things in place that will support a feeling of goodwill, a feeling of care, kindness. And as I've mentioned a number of times, that just because we create the conditions, that doesn't mean that feelings of warmth or care or loving kindness will arise. I feel like I say this every time I teach, but part of the reason I myself, for a long time, would have anything but loving kindness feelings arise. This was like my dirty little secret, that I would be practicing loving kindness, and then in my mind would arise like all the times I wasn't kind. And I would just start to feel angry about myself and bad about this or that, and I'd get all agitated. So I didn't know that that's actually perfectly normal, and this happens a lot, that people, when we settle down or when we set our intentions towards warmth, love, and care, that sometimes the opposite shows up. And the truth is, each of us, every single one of us, has our own measure of difficulties and pain. It may be obvious, it may be subtle. Maybe it's both, sometimes obvious and sometimes subtle. It can reflect experiences from our families, from our parents maybe. Can be some of the influence of the media or education that we had. Maybe we don't even know why we have some of this difficulties and pain. Maybe we do know. Maybe we can point to precisely something. But whatever it is, we often feel like somehow in order to survive or in order to make it somehow, that we have to cover and protect our heart. That we may feel like that we have to like build up a layer of covering and kind of hide under it in some way. Or that we have to defend ourselves from not feeling too much, just feeling enough. I think this is part of the human experience. I don't think there's any of us that are immune from that, from this. It's true that we all have different causes of difficulties, pain, hardship. And it's true that all of our circumstances are different. But there isn't a person who doesn't sometimes feel this. So in developing loving kindness, we start exactly where we are. Not anywhere else, right here, right now. We don't have to be different before we can start practicing loving kindness for ourselves. We don't have to be different before we can start practicing loving kindness for somebody else. And so part of practicing loving kindness for ourselves is to have this kindness for our own humanity. And to recognize that, yes, we have struggles, but that doesn't mean that we're not worthy of loving kindness. It doesn't mean that we're not capable of sharing loving kindness with others in some way. may be different on different days, but even though we have difficulties and struggles, it doesn't mean that we can't bathe our hearts or open our hearts or soften our hearts in some way for loving kindness, care, warmth, respect for ourselves, of course for ourselves, or for others. And so with this practice, with the softening of our hearts in whatever way that makes sense to you, some warmth or care, not only do we create the conditions for loving kindness to arise with this practice, but we also create the conditions for us to practice self-care, other ways to take care of ourselves. Maybe ask for help on those areas we need help. Do those things that we know that we should do, but somehow we don't want to do. This type of things. So tonight I'd like to read a poem. It's kind of a short poem that I really like. When I first read this, I think I heard it in a Dharma talk, I felt really touched by it in the way that sometimes poetry can, and, you know, kind of speak indirectly. Maybe some of you know this poem. It's called Healing Time by Pesha Gertler. Finally, on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no to my life, all the untended wounds, the red and purple scars, those hieroglyphs of pain carved into my skin, my bones, those coded messages that send me down the wrong street again and again. Where I find them, the old wounds, the old misdirections, and I lift them one by one close to my heart, and I say, holy, holy. Maybe I'll read this again. Finally, on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I said no to my life. All the untended wounds, the red and purple scars, those hieroglyphs of pain carved into my skin, my bones. Those coded messages that send me down the wrong street again and again, where I find them. The old wounds, the old misdirections, and I lift them one by one, close to my heart, and I say, holy, holy. Right, so loving kindness practice, maybe it's some of these wounds, some of these scars show up, but it's about loving ourselves, all aspects of ourselves, all aspects. Even those little parts that we kind of wish weren't there and we're hoping nobody notices. It is a practice. So often we don't do this. So often we're a little bit fractured in our view of ourselves, the view of the world, wishing parts weren't there, but trying to push them away. So with loving kindness practice, there are three elements. Those of you who have been here before have heard me talk about this. The first element is that we bring to mind a person for whom it's easy to feel love, for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, respect, kindness. This may be a person you know, or maybe somebody you don't know, maybe somebody you know about. And if there isn't anybody or nobody comes to mind, we can always use kittens and puppies and babies. You know, those things that our hearts kind of melt a little bit when we think about them. So we'll start with what we call a benefactor or a lovable being. That's the first element, is to bring them to mind. The second element is to, on occasion to like feel in the body, the sensations in the body. Maybe there's some warmth in the heart area. Maybe there's some relaxation in the belly. Maybe there's just a general feeling of ease or in softness. This may be very subtle. It may be completely unremarkable. Or you may not even notice it at all. Or it may be a really strong feeling of this opening of the heart and feeling contentment and love. And the whole range is perfectly fine, perfectly fine. So that's the second element. And the third element, in order to support our intention to cultivate loving kindness, our intention to have goodwill and warmth and care and respect, we'll repeat phrases in our mind, softly in our mind, just as a way to kind of bring the mind back to our intention. Otherwise, many of you noticed our minds tend to wander and we get lost in thoughts. So we'll just very simply, very easily come back to the phrases, and I'll lead us in this. We'll start with a benefactor, and then we'll open it up and increase, and we'll do loving kindness for ourselves. Often it's easier to start with a benefactor than for ourselves. So with that as an introduction, you can take an alert, relaxed posture. This can be lying down if you'd like, if you'd feel it'd be supportive for you to be in some other posture than sitting in a chair or sitting on a cushion. That's perfectly fine. And let's start by taking three long, slow, deep breaths. We're just doing this as a way to connect with the body. And perhaps with the exhale, there's a certain amount of relaxation or softening or letting go. Then we allow the breathing to come back to normal. And we just trust that the body knows how to breathe. We don't have to change it. We don't have to do anything in particular. And then to help support some relaxation and ease, we just very gently check in with different parts of the body. Often we hold tension around our eyes. You can bring your attention to your eyes, or maybe the jaw, Nothing needs to happen. You just may notice that when you bring your attention there, that the tension softens or releases a little bit. We don't have to make it happen. We're not making anything happen. Maybe the shoulders, letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. Check in with the chest. Sometimes we collapse our chest when we're not feeling supported in some way. It can be helpful to have the chest open in a way that's open and yet relaxed. The belly. Can we soften the belly? What about the upper back, the lower back? You can feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Check in with your legs. Feel your feet on the ground. And lastly, the arms and hands, just allowing them to discover a little bit more ease. If you find that you still have a lot of tension, that's okay. That's okay. Then we'll begin by doing a little bit of mindfulness of breathing. So that is, bring your awareness to the sensations of the abdomen moving, the chest moving, or the feeling of the air moving out of the nose. You can choose one of those three, whichever is the most vivid, the most compelling, the easiest, and just rest your attention on the movement, those feelings, those sensations. It's natural that the mind will wander. It doesn't have to be a problem. Just very simply, very gently, come back to the sensations of breathing. We can use the feeling of the abdomen moving or the chest moving as an anchor, as a refuge, as a place to rest our attention when we find that perhaps there's a lot of thoughts, a lot of thinking. Just very, very simply, with kindness, begin again and feel from the inside, what does it feel like to breathe? So this is mindfulness of breathing. We are intentionally resting our attention on the sensations of breathing. You can always come back to this practice if you feel overwhelmed, you feel uncomfortable. You can allow the breath will always be there. You can just rest your attention there. And then to begin loving kindness practice, begin by bringing to mind somebody for whom it's easy to feel loving kindness, feel warmth, care, respect. Bring this person or this being to mind. And maybe feel into your body, see if there's some kind of inner smile when you bring this person or this being to mind. Again, this doesn't have to be a really loud, obvious feeling. Maybe there's just a little quiet corner of your experience. That has a little more softness. And then you can repeat the phrases silently in your mind after me. Having this person or this being in mind, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Again, we can check in and bring to mind the person for whom we're sending loving kindness, for whom we have the intention to cultivate warmth, care, respect, love. Maybe there's a feeling in the body that accompanies this. Maybe not. We can start the phrases again. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Now I'll be silent for a little bit. Maybe you want to play around with the phrases, use different words, go at a different pace. Find this practice that works for you, that supports you. can check in with the body and see if there's some feeling of small little corner of contentment or ease or relaxation. Again, this doesn't have to be your dominant experience. But can you allow that feeling to support you, nourish you, and drink it up? And then let's build on this foundation of loving kindness for a benefactor or a lovable being. Just to increase the bubble, the sphere, the field of goodwill, to include ourselves. Of course we deserve loving kindness, of course we do. You can bring yourself to mind in whatever way that makes sense for you. Visualize yourself as you are now. Some people find it easier to visualize themselves when they were young, maybe even as a child or a toddler. Or maybe it feels a little more accessible to sense how it feels to be sitting here, feeling the pressure of the chair or the cushion against your body. Again, you can check in with the heart center, the chest, the belly. See if there's been a shift or can you allow any sense of well-being to get as big as it wants? We're not making anything happen. We're not forcing anything to happen. We're just creating the conditions. It might arise, it might not arise. It's perfectly fine, perfectly fine. And then to practice loving kindness for ourselves, we just change the pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Again, you're welcome to change or modify the phrases and choose words that resonate and are meaningful for you. And of course, they don't have to be in English. They can be in whichever language is the language of your heart. Sometimes doing loving kindness for ourselves is the most difficult. Sometimes on the way to saying yes, we're reminded of the times we've said no to ourselves. If you find that it's difficult, you can go back to doing loving kindness for a benefactor or a lovable being. You can go back to doing mindfulness of breathing. We're being very gentle with ourselves. We're being very caring of ourselves. We're being very kind to ourselves. And we'll expand our sphere or field of loving kindness one more time. This is optional for a neutral person, that is, somebody you don't know, somebody you do not have a relationship with. This might be the person that delivers the mail, the person that works at the grocery store, maybe somebody that you recognize but never said much more than hello, how are you, to. Can we extend our feelings of goodwill to somebody that we don't know? They share this common humanity. They have difficulties just like we do. Bring the person to mind. One more time, you can check in with the body. See if it can support you, nourish you. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. So in these last few minutes of the meditation, you can open it up and do whatever practice seems like the right one for you now. Loving kindness for a benefactor, loving kindness for yourself, loving kindness for a neutral person. Maybe loving kindness for a different person or a different category that we haven't done yet. Or maybe mindfulness of breathing. these last few minutes, what practice feels like the right one for you? And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or the cushion or the floor against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Quite something how sometimes when we are experiencing the most difficulties, or maybe when we just notice some subtle difficulties, sometimes it's the hardest to send loving kindness to ourselves than thinking like, oh, if I'm having difficulties, I must be doing something wrong and I have to go fix it, or I don't deserve it, or somehow we feel like it's easier to have loving kindness for ourselves. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes we think it's easier when everything is going our way. Because somehow we feel like that must be a reflection that we must be a good person and therefore deserving of it. Of course, this isn't true. Turns out we have lots of thoughts that aren't true. Doesn't mean we don't believe them, but we always deserve kindness. We always deserve warmth, care. We can send this to ourselves no matter what we're experiencing. If we're in great suffering, or maybe just the mild garden variety irritations. It's all part of life. It's all part of the human experience. It's all part of who we are. So I like this expression. Sometimes I bring it to mind as a way to support me when I notice that I'm irritable or cranky or something. This idea of like, oh yes, on my way to yes, I bump into all the places where I used to say no. I find as, you know, the more I practice, the more ease I have in my life, the more contentment. Tremendous amount of contentment compared to how I had before. But still I would like notice these little things, like, oh yeah, okay. On the way to yes, I'm noticing those little corners of my experience that sometimes are still a little sticky or tricky or something. That's okay. So now I'd like to open it up for any comments or questions or about what I talked about or what the experience was like with this guided meditation. It's okay, nobody has to speak if they don't want to. Yes, please. It's a little intimidating when the mic is just sitting out there, maybe.
Would you mind repeating again what you opened up with today, that we all have
a
measure of difficulties? We're all experiencing that. I was trying to remember that.
Yes, right. We all have our own measure of pain. We all have our own measure of difficulties. And maybe it's, you know, this moment it's really extreme and awful, or maybe it's really subtle. But we don't get through this human being business without some pain. For better or for worse, I guess, right? This is what it means to be a human, so. And it comes from so many different places, too, right? Sometimes we know why, and sometimes we don't know why. And meditation here is less an emphasis on where it comes from. We're not trying to actually find it or determine it. What we discover with the mindfulness practice and with loving kindness practice, both of them, when there's this kind of this opening of the heart, this very kind of gentling, the undoing of some of the coverings that we've been putting over our hearts, when those start to lessen a little bit, then just some things might bubble up. We don't have to look for them. We don't have to make them arise. They just bubble up. It's like, oh, I never thought of it that way. Now I see like a little insight about our lives or a different way of looking at things. Or maybe this bubble will be like a sharp pain, like, oh my gosh, that was so awful, the thing that happened. But then somehow it kind of gets metabolized in the container of meditation. And so much of the pain and the suffering and the difficulty just drains out of it. The event still happened, but some of the charge around it can dissipate when it comes up in the container of meditation. Yeah, so it's not imperative that we understand, you know, exactly where all our difficulties come from. Maybe we do know, maybe we don't know. Maybe it's helpful to do some psychotherapy. Maybe it's for some things, maybe not for other things, I don't know. But
I was wondering if you could, I had a different experience this time with the first one where we think of someone, and experience the wording very differently this time than I have in all the times I've been doing this. And the person I picked, not to say who the person was, but I have some responsibility for. And in that, the differential of where the line of my responsibility for that person's happiness and is a difficult one to navigate. And so when we said the words this time, it really was helpful to say, may you, meaning her, be. So I was wishing the wonderful things, but it wasn't I kept saying, I'm actually not saying, may I help you be happy, may I be responsible for you being happy, but it didn't take away from the kindness of the wish, and it was very liberating. And I wonder if you could comment on, it seemed like a big divide and maybe a purposeful divide in the wording that we're using, but I'd never noticed it like I've done it for even this person numerous times before. So it was very vivid, that differential for me this time.
And can you say a little bit more, how did it feel for you, like when you realized, oh yeah, this is different, that you're kind of allowing this other person to have responsibility for your lives? How did that feel for you, like in your body or the thoughts? Or
well, at first it was, typically that's an easy one when I pick someone I care about, and I was first, you know, in my little kindness place, I don't know. And then I was like, oh, like I should be making that happen. And so it was like there was a tightness, but then I went back, you were saying the words, and I listened, like I took it really literally, and I said, I think I'm supposed to take it literally, and it actually was very relaxing. There was like a weight lifted. Not saying that I have no responsibility, but it did help me delineate and start thinking about where is that line in this particular situation for me. And then I was able to be kind with what she's going to need to do for herself, actually.
Yeah.
So it was a profound difference than in the past. That's always the easy one, and I can just feel happy about it. And
Yeah, this is fantastic. Right, so often we don't notice how that we ourselves are kind of like tangled up in our wishes for others, this idea. Because of course, right, we spend all days fixing, doing things, so we kind of like bring that momentum to our meditation practice. Like, okay, in some way that maybe it's not clear, I'm going to make you be happy or help you be happy or something like this.
Or you expect it, or you feel that there's an expectation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and this recognition that actually we can have warm wishes, we can have loving wishes, we can have caring wishes, but the reality is when people get to be a certain age, they will make their own decisions and make their own happiness. Sometimes it's not an easy to recognize always, but also can be really liberating. And so sometimes when we find that we're stuck with this, I want this person to be so happy, but they won't stop doing this thing that we can see so clearly is making them unhappy. So then we practice equanimity. Doesn't sound like you need to practice equanimity. There you kind of had this experience like, okay. Oh, fantastic.
That might be, now that you say that, it might be why.
Yeah. So equanimity is this recognition that that people are, they experience the consequences of their actions. It doesn't matter, whatever our wishes might be for them, they will always experience the consequences of their actions. And so just because we care and wish and are telling them to do this or to do that or something, right, they have their own interior life and their own behavior. And so sometimes it can be a real learning, sometimes difficult to say, oh no, actually, I can't control that. And even though I have all these wishes for you, you are responsible for your own life in some way. Yeah. It sounds great though, right, to be able to see.
It was fascinating, actually.
Yeah. Great. I'm happy to hear that. And maybe it's something that, I don't know, can fuel some thoughts about, Thank you for sharing. Okay. I'm not going to make us stay here, sit in silence. Punishment. How long is she going to wait? So I wish you all some ease, some happiness, some warmth, care, and safety. Thank you.